gosh, you guys came back for another episode.
Hi!
Welcome to our creepy living room. It's filled with all kinds of weird shit. We've got pictures of various temples.
Prophets.
Jesus.
The bishop.
White Jesus.
Blue eyes.
Blue definitely has blue eyes, although they did give him brown hair.
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
It was very white of them.
We have some raw broccoli and cauliflower pieces with some ranch dip.
So much ranch dip.
There's potato chips crushed onto whatever casserole we're eating.
Delicious.
And you guys willingly stepped into this.
You're welcome.
You are welcome. Charlotte, what are you drinking over there?
Drinking a delicious glass of wine. It's the 5th and Bowie. It's a bourbon barrel aged Cabernet Sauvignon.
2017 vintage from Paso Robles, California.
Oh, delicious.
Cheers.
Hey, cheers.
We're not supposed to be having wine because we're at family home evening, but...
Jesus forbade it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
It's a good one. I really like this one. So, don't tell Jesus we're drinking it. Just pretend we're drinking Sprite.
Cough syrup.
Just kidding. We're bad Mormons. speaking of, I'm not sure. I just want to make this very clear. We did a disclaimer in our first episode, and I want to just do the same one again for anyone who might have missed it. We are in no way affiliated with the website badmormon.com.
No. Yeah, that's not us. But once again, badmormon.com is not us. It's not what we do. We are a couple of sisters. They're very nice people.
We're just bad at being Mormons, but in a different way.
Fair.
So let's get started.
Okay, so my mom has been in and out of different religions, but about the time I was 13, she went hardcore back into Mormonism. That's not correct. Mm-hmm. But she told me that I would have to get rid of all my Marilyn Manson CDs and posters on my wall. And that, at 12, 13 years old, was just too much for me. So I said no and got a lock and put it on my door. Because I will not have her coming into my room stealing my stuff.
And I love Marilyn Manson.
And I love Marilyn Manson. Except for the things that I've recently read about him, but that's something else.
Ooh, yeah, no.
Yeah, not a good dude. But, you know, when you're 12 and, you know, Portrait of American Family and...
It was a good album,
That was a really good album. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's not what got me into it.
I think the people want to know.
Well, I was going to say, I listened to that terrible, like, it's like a Blondie cover. So Smells Like Children was the album. And I liked it. And to be fair, I haven't listened to that album in a long time, so maybe it's not as bad as I think it is. But yeah, I mean, you compare it to Portrait, nothing's as good. I mean, Michael, we don't say last names, was saying that the Mechanical Albums was like his like defining album. I'm like, no.
Michael, are you talking about Evil?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, a different Michael.
The two.
Yes.
Eminem, if you will.
Got it, yes.
Yeah. I'm like, you're wrong, Michael. You were wrong. Mechanical Albums was not that great. But anyways, so I moved, you know, I grew up in California, I moved out to Washington, I wanted to buy a house, which was stupid, and everything was too expensive, and it was 2004, and then when I got out there, all the houses out there were expensive, but anyways, that's what brought me out to go live with my family out in Washington, you know, not with them, but it was actually kind of awesome, because we all lived about 3 blocks from each other at one point. Like, I had my apartment, and then half a block up, Laurie's apartment, and then across the street from that was Tiffany's apartment, and then you were about two and a half blocks up.
That was your apartment.
It was probably super one of the awesome. Best time.
And our employer was right there, the co-op.
Right in the middle, yeah.
Right in the middle.
So, like, walking distance was, like, across the street from me. It was wonderful. So we're all working at the co-op, except for Laurie, she bartends. So, it just so happened that me and Mandy, and I think Tiffany had a break at the same time, and we were all walking through produce, and I saw dandelion leaves, and I was like, who the hell would want to eat dandelion leaves? Like, I didn't think about a salad or whatever. And Mandy says, well, you don't remember eating dandelions on the compound? I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, what compound? You're like, when mom was married to the polygamist, I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, oh, you're hilarious, Mandy. You're like, I'll ask mom. And that's when I realized she was serious. And I was like, are you fucking with me? Like, that's, like, it's funny, but it's not that funny. Like, she's like, no, ask mom.
I can't believe you didn't know.
I had no idea. Mom never mentioned it. Why would she? And then, you know, like, we're sisters, we're close, but we didn't really grow up with each other. So, like, Mandy lived in Utah and I lived in California most of the time.
Wait, how many years apart are we, Charlotte?
8.
And we get mistaken for twins all the time. What's up?
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you digress. but yeah, so it's like, oh, we really got to know each other when I moved out to Washington. And we all became very good friends, which is nice if you consider your family members your friends. But anyways, and so yeah, she's like, oh yeah, mom was married to a polygamist. I guess you would be too, like, she's like, oh, that's right. I guess you would be too young to remember. Because now when I've been telling people, because I tell this story often, but it's through the eyes of what Mandy told me, and I don't remember it that well, but it was when mom and dad got divorced, and I thought they got divorced when I was 2, but then I heard you tell the story recently to somebody, and it sounds like I was more of an infant. So, that's what I did. I called up mom, and I was like, mom, what the fuck? She's just like, oh, that was a long time ago.
Did she tell you anything?
No, she told me nothing. I was like, no, I want to know. She's like, it was a long time ago, and I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, ugh! Like, this bomb has been dropped on me. And I had to have asked you questions. I don't know. I was drinking a lot back then, more so than I do now, so I don't really remember, but I just remember that she was married to, like, 3 different dudes or something.
Oh, I'll tell you exactly what happened.
Right, okay, so go on.
Well, so I just want to preface this by saying that mom wouldn't tell us anything either, like, because we just didn't talk about it for a long time, and then when we tried to get information about it, it was the same thing, like, I don't want to talk about it, and so for some reason, like, when we started deciding we were going to do this podcast, I was just grilling her, and I was not letting up, and she's like, oh, who even remembers? It was such a long time ago, but she finally dished. So the original story, or the story that I guess I've been telling for however many years, is not correct. Okay. Because my memories are a little bit different. Because I was, actually, I'm going to have to look at my spreadsheet.
Perfect.
Going back to my spreadsheet of the timeline of my life so I can remember, like, what your thing was. Yeah. So this basically happened in the summer of 1984.
So I would have been 1.
So you would have been 1. And I would have been I would have been 9 or 10. And I was going from the 3rd grade to the 4th grade. And I didn't know anything about, like, how they split up or how mom and dad split up or anything like that. I had just been told, and I remember very clearly being told as a kid as we were moving, that our dad didn't love us anymore. He didn't care about us. He didn't care where we were, and just forget about him because he's not in our lives anymore. And it was the original 6 of us kids. And we were all just, like, you know, freaking out, like, where's our dad, you know? And it was just like, nope, that's not a thing anymore.
That's insane.
Very clearly remember that. And I'd come to find out later, you know, that obviously, like, our dad was just devastated. He had no idea where we were. My mom just took all the kids and ran in the night to a polygamous compound.
Yeah, she just don't call the police back in the 80s when your wife steals your children?
I kind of wonder if they had in the end. Like, this whole expedition seemed to me to be, like, years long, and it was really only, like, 3 months at the most.
Okay.
So, I don't know if the cops were called. It's possible that they were. I know that Dad basically left our house on 3rd East and moved in with his mom, and actually, he might have been living there before mom took off, because when I asked her why, like, what prompted the whole thing or whatever, he's like, well, Randy was threatening to take Tiffany, and I wasn't going to let that happen, so I left. And I was like, well, that sounds weird.
Yeah, first of all. Also, why would he only take Tiffany?
Right. And I asked her that, too, and she's like, well, so it was Maxine. So Maxine's our grandma. Rest in peace. We love her dearly.
She's awesome.
She's a wonderful human being. Don't get any better than that.
You really don't. She's wonderful.
Yeah. So apparently grandma had said something to Tiffany, like, oh, you're going to be our little girl and you're going to come live with us. So that makes me think the dad was living at grandma's at the time. And that got back to mom somehow. which turned into, Deb, you know, Randy's going to kidnap Tiffany. And
so I'm going to kidnap them first.
We have to go on the run. Yeah, so I'm going to kidnap them first. So we all got scooped up in the night and herded off to the first of three polygamist compounds. And so, let's see, where should I go from here? So we, you know, it was a thing. We jumped around from a few different families. And, like, as I started telling this story, as I kept telling this story over and over again to different friends, a bunch of weird stuff kept coming up. So I'm going to try to, like, keep it in the timeline that it happened. But we found out parts of information in a very strange order. Like, just for example, so one of my friends in Bellingham, Tammy, in one of the last houses that we lived in, one of the last polygamist houses, there was an incident where, like, the septic wasn't working or something like that, and this house was real shitty. It was, like, there was probably, I don't know how many kids were living there, but there was three families living there, and there was one room that was, like, I want to say, like, an 8x8 room, and we had draped sheets from the ceiling to basically create four different little quadrants in that room, and it was a mattress on the floor of each one of those, and then two girls to a mattress. And that was just in one room. That was, like, the girl room. Then there was the little kid room, and then there was the boy room and the little boy room or whatever. So it was at that house that the septic went out, and there was, like, a porta potty in the yard. And like I said, I was, like, 9 or 10, and we ended up toilet papering that house with, like, the shitty poo toilet paper.
Ew.
I know. I know. Trust me, I know. So telling that story later, I found out that my friend Tammy, who, oh my God, she should start a podcast because her mom is just insane. apparently her mom was also sleeping with, dating, married to that polygamist guy.
At the same time?
At the same time. We toilet papered the house together at 9 years
and
old.
And you guys didn't even know it. You guys
had
friends
no
later.
No idea.
Do you guys meet in Washington?
We met in Utah.
Okay.
So she came out to Utah. But we met in high school.
Okay.
Well, we met when I was like nine.
Nine, right.
But we had no idea.
That's crazy.
But we just both remembered the horror of that story so much.
That's so funny.
That she was like, wait a minute. Was that a Nibley? And I was like, yeah. Was that Ron Green? Oh, I guess we can't say last names, but you know what? Fuck him.
You know what? Fuck the polygamists. You can say their names.
There's some infamy. They're published.
Right.
Well, so I'll get to that too. But anyway, so like weird things like that would happen as we would tell a story. So my brother Casey and I was hoping that he would be able to be on this one, but I started reading this book at his recommendation, and actually my friend Erica's recommendation, called Under the Banner of Heaven, which is written by John Krakauer. If you haven't read it, it's very entertaining and horrible, and it has some of it's really dry. It goes into, like, Mormon, you know, history, like, from a historical perspective, not necessarily the current Mormon, how they would want it to be perspective. And then it also talks about some of these, like, FLDS, so that's Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. So that's basically the original version of the church. The current version of the church has, you know, discarded some of those, like, principles that they used to hold dear, you know, because they were fucking crazy
right.
and horrible.
Well, they're very convenient on the things they decide that they'll no longer, you know.
Well, that's the good thing about revelations.
Right.
You know, you can just have a revelation and it'll all change. With the times. Yeah. So anyways, Under the Banner of Heaven, I started reading that, and my memories were fuzzy except for a few things, but as I was reading that book, all of a sudden, like, I was reading the part where they kept referring to the church, the polygamous church, as the work. And I was like, the work, that sounds so familiar. Like, that's what we would call the church. When we would go to church, it was the work. And so that really jarred my memory. And then I remembered, I had this image in my head of us going to church in a cave, which I know is not right. But I remember very clearly, like, I had, a, like, short permed hair, you know, cause my aunt was a beautician. We called it beauticians back then. She was always giving us, like, perms. So I had short permed hair, big 80s fro. I looked like a poodle. And then I was wearing like a black drop-waisted dress with neon ruffles that was kind of above the knee. Yeah, it was. I would totally rock that today. But yeah, it was just like definitely like I was full 80s child.
Love it.
And then the people that were in the church were like the people that you see on TV, like the long sleeves, the long, all the way to the ankles, long
I'm
hair and
let
braids.
You go to church in that.
Well, they were, I have a feeling it was like a trial period.
Right. Be nice to the, no, not apostates. You don't become that till later.
I don't know what you call that.
The outsiders. But yeah, because yeah, they have the dresses that go all the way up, like turtlenecks.
It's like all the people we see at
Cedar
the
City.
The DI and Cedar City or St. George.
Right.
It's like those people. It's probably the same but yeah, anyways, and so I had this memory of me just really not fitting in. Oh, and another weird memory about that too was like, so in like regular church in the modern version of the church, LDS church, you would get the sacrament, which is like a version of the Catholic, you know, body of Christ and blood of Christ where you drink the thing.
Right,
and
you get you get a little bit of water and you get a little bit of Wonder Bread.
Yeah. In a little cup.
Right.
Those little ketchup cups that
you
split
apart. Yes,
that's
right. I was trying to think
of
what those cups were, but they're definitely ketchup cups.
And I remember it being super weird at the work church because they passed around a loaf of wheat bread and you would just pick off a chunk of the wheat bread. Coronavirus.
Right.
And then you would drink grape juice out of a little plastic cup, like a shot glass. So I don't know why that sticks out to me too. Anyways, I had this vision that we were in a cave doing this, which we were not. So as I'm reading Under the Banner of Heaven, it talks about like the salt mine and it describes this scene in Lehi, which is the first place that we lived. We went down to Lehi. And there's this huge mine that's like a big mountain or whatever that kind of is a dramatic focal point for the town. And I think that's why my brain flipped it into a cave, like we were in a cave because of this dramatic mountain. But as I was reading this book, I was like, oh my God, this is the town. Like, these are the people, you know. And so the story just, I don't want to give you too many spoilers, but it's, you know, a murder that happened in 1984, the summer of 1984, the same summer we were there. These two fundamentalist brothers, you know, murdered their other brother's wife and, infant daughter. Yeah. Because they were basically like, hey, join our weird fundamentalist church. And she was like smart and educated. And she was like, fuck you guys, you're crazy. And so they killed her. They murdered her. And I was under the impression for many years that that was the family that we lived with, the Lafferty's. And, you know, everything that I had read and all my memories and everything led me to believe that those were the people. And I was doing all this research on the Lafferty's and I thought we were with the father of Ron and Dan Lafferty. His name is Watson Lafferty, who was a real piece of shit. I read a story about how he would, like, beat the shit out of the family dog and killed it. Aww. In front of the kids, like, to punish them. Yeah, horrible monster. So this is the part where finally I got mom to talk to me and give me some shit. otherwise, I probably would have just spent my entire life thinking that the Lafferty's were the first family that we... But mom says, she said, no, we went with Owen Allred's group. And I was like, Owen Allred? She's like, yeah, you know, Owen Allred. And then there was the LeBarons from Ogden, the LeBaron group, Everett LeBaron. And I was like, just writing it all down. I was like, I don't remember. And she's like, I can't really remember. It was a long time ago. So I ended up, I kept asking her. I was like, well, how did you meet up with them? Like,
yeah, I was going to say, you don't just, like, I'm taking the kids. Let's find a polygamous group. Like, you had been talking to them at some point.
Yeah. And it really took me, like, pressing and digging to get her to tell me. But finally she told me, well, okay, so it's my friend Jamie. We all know Jamie.
Right.
So they were good friends during when, like, mom's marriage was going to shit or whatever.
Right.
And so Jamie and her started talking about, I wrote it down, it was something that current Mormons really hate. the Adam God theory or something like that. I can't remember in my notes, but yeah, I think it was called the Adam God theory.
I don't
which
know what that is.
It's some kind of fundamentalist belief,
okay.
Honestly. And I don't really know what it is. And I tried to Google and it was so boring. But so, it basically goes back to the fundamentals, to the early, early, early Mormon days before it got modernized.
Okay.
And Mom said that she talked to the bishop, Bishop Ellsworth, and I remember that name. I totally remember that guy being the bishop, because that's the same bishop that I talked to about my stories, which I don't think I've talked about yet.
I would say it's drawing a blank.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was the bishop at our Fifth Ward church. We might have to bleep out his name. I don't even know if he's still alive. That was so long ago. But anyways, Mom said that when she brought that up to him, he was like, if you didn't have 6 children, I would excommunicate you right now. And I was like, damn.
Thank God you're populating a planet.
Damn. Yeah, so that was a thing that you didn't talk about. But so Jamie, I guess, knew these guys in Ogden and whatever, Lehi. Then the two guys came to talk to Mom and probably just convinced her, like, oh, leave your husband, like, bring your kids, we'll take care of you. You don't need to put up with this. Yeah.
You'll be living the sweet life.
And you know how Mom is. She loves to go off the grid and be under the radar and
be taken care of.
So, yeah. So I Googled the Owen Allred group, and they are a pretty popular, like, sect of fundamentalist Mormons in Utah. They're based out of Bluffdale, Utah, and then the LeBarons are out of Ogden, Utah, and one of the LeBaron people, Everell LeBaron, had Owen Allred murdered.
Oh!
Yeah,
so we weren't part of the first murdering, but the second murder.
Well, and with the people that we lived with was Rulin Allred.
Right.
And so his brother Owen, I think, was the one that got murdered. I should have been a little better prepared for
facts
for this.
You know, I've seen that on the ID channel because I love me some murder. And
they're correlated with and often associated with Warren Jeffs.
Okay.
And you know Warren Jeffs.
Yes, of course, that piece of shit.
Yeah. Who's in jail now and right. Now his brother or whatever is doing it.
Their family or whatever still mm-hmm. think that he's a prophet and mm-hmm. that he's, you know, going to get out of jail and whatever. Good Lord.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was worse knowing that we were with the thinking we were with the Lafferty's or being actually with these people.
Right.
But yeah, so anyways.
Did they, like, I might be confusing another Mormon murder story, but, like, that they all thought that they were prophets, but they split the church into two, and then it just became that blood atonement shit, like.
Yeah, I think they kind of go over that in Under the Banner of Heaven. I think that's the Lafferty
family. Okay,
that's
the Lafferty. Okay.
Yeah, they have the 6 apostles or whatever. Yeah. Next time we do this, I'm going to make
notes. Probably. I have a feeling, you know, we're going to talk about some of the same stories a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple times, especially when Casey or other people decide they want to join us on our sweet ass podcast.
It's true. This is true. So, let's see. So, after that one, so that's the first place, and that's in Lehi, and that's where the dandelion salad people lived.
Okay. And so, also, Mom moved around. Was it because she wasn't putting out? I heard.
That was just my theory.
Okay.
As a 9-year-old. I was like, it's either put out or get out, lady. And so she got out. But I could be wrong about that.
God, I wish Mom would tell us more stories.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get her to come on.
Maybe. I bet we could. She went on Tyson's podcast.
Oh, that's a whole other podcast to talk about that.
It's going to take another 47 hours to talk about that one. Don't worry, listeners. Don't worry, my 2 friends from high school. We're gonna fill you in on all the dirty deets. Let's see. That was the Dandelion Green place. And then from there,
But it was in Dandelion Greens. You said you don't remember eating dandelions. Like, you guys ate straight up dandelions?
I think we did. I definitely remember being in the backyard and picking the leaves out of the ground. Like, it didn't seem sanitary. But that place wasn't sanitary because that's where Tiffany was playing in the sandbox and got impetigo, which is like some kind of weird skin disease from the early 1900s.
Oh, that's not good.
Don't worry. She's better.
She's not a leper.
Right, she's not a leper. So then after that, we went to Avon. I think it was called Avon or Paradise or something like that. But that's the house that had the rope swing in the backyard, which I don't think you remember that either. You were too little.
I was one. I don't know anything.
The main things I remember about that is I remember Tears for Fears Shout had just come out and was very popular because it was on the radio every 7 minutes. Shout. Living in the polygamist house. That's what it means to me. And I also remember watching Star Trek Wrath of Khan listening to Mom talk about Ricardo Montalban's fabulous chest.
Was that Khan? Ew. Like, seriously, Leatherface, ew.
Yeah, but did you see the chest in that movie? It wasn't that. Well,
clearly it goes straight to the chest, but, like, not in the best way.
No.
But in an interesting way.
I remember being mortified at the time. Now, as an adult, I can be like, I guess I can see it.
I'm going to have to watch Wrath of Khan again. Mm-hmm. But I assure you, all I can remember of the Wrath of Khan is his chest and his flowing girl hair. It was almost like Rod Stewart, awesome hair.
Just glorious.
Just so good.
I also remember from that house, well, I don't really remember any of the polygamist parts. Oh, I should have said, too, in the first house, I remember there was a lady named Helen and a lady named Miriam. I don't remember the dude's name, but he was one of the Allred people. And then at this house in Avon, I don't remember anything like bad about the people. Okay. I remember there being like an older, so I was just going into fourth grade. Remember there being an older,
they let you go to school,
kid eventually. This was after well, I'll get to it. Like an older teenager who was like, I just thought was like so hot. He had a car and whatever. I'm 10.
He's your sister brother.
Yeah, but I remember I don't remember the people there at all. They just seemed like nice, normal. Like, we ate weird seasonings, like spike, salt-free, like the hippie food, Bragg's liquid, you know, all the co-op stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a hippie commune house, but they had a sweet rope swing in the backyard, and it was really, in my memory, it was really dangerous because you would, like, put your foot in this rope swing and you would swing out over the deepest ravine.
That's what makes it fun.
Right. Yeah, we loved it. So yeah, that's all I really remember about that house. Oh, and then me and Casey microwaving a potato, and then there was an earwig in there when we opened the door.
Gross.
And it was like glowing red earwig. Casey remembers that
too. Speaking of Wrath of Khan,
oh,
Jesus.
Yeah. It was I don't know why that memory is burned into my brain forever.
Well,
But yeah, that's all I really remember about that house. And then at that point, that's when Dad came.
Okay.
And so he was allowed to come and pick us up, and then we all went to Lagoon. He took us to Alta Lagoon, which was great, super, super great. And then, I don't know, I guess they were working out their situation or whatever, and then we went to live with Ron Green. I'm pretty sure this was the last house we lived in. I might be getting the two houses mixed up. It might have been Paradise in the last and the Greens in the middle, but the Green house, Ron Green and Nibley, that's where it was like we were hanging sheets from the ceiling. And
right.
There was way too many fucking people living in there. It was filthy. I remember some of the girls that were my age, like telling you, like they had goats. And so you would milk the goats and then you would put the goat milk straight from the teat into the freezer and they would call it ice cream. Like they're like, you want some ice cream? I was like, yeah, ice cream. And then they give me this fucking frozen goat milk that tastes like a fucking...
Tastes like farm?
Yeah, goat's tit.
Gross.
And I was just like, what kind of hell on earth have I landed in?
Oh my god. It's awful.
I also remember, this is probably way TMI, but I also remember like being in the bathroom. So I was like probably not even going through puberty, maybe just starting to go through puberty. And there were some teenager girls that were older than me, which a bunch of them got pregnant right away. Like,
ew.
15, 16. I think it was because they were like, fuck this shit, and went out into the
world. Oh, okay. Not like your dad raped them kind of shit.
I think they were like a little too cool. They had like a secret stash of eyeliner, you know, that they would wear when they went outside. But I remember them like trying to tell me if I pull out my nipples, that they would stick out farther.
Oh, no.
Because they didn't stick out because I didn't have any boobs.
Because
I was a child.
Right, because you're a child. Right.
So yeah, that's traumatic. That's a traumatic memory. Probably way too much information, but that
no
happened.
Way. I can totally see that.
And then, and I also got hit in the head with a baseball bat by Mom because we were playing baseball. She felt really bad. She goes back to swing and it just hits me right in the head, knocks me out. And then the toilet paper shit. The shit toilet paper for the house. Those are my main memories of that house.
And so mom left that house, like, she got out of polygamy because...
Well, so she went, so that's after that house, I'm sure it was after that house, we went to Preston. Oh, okay. And let me just add this too, this Ron Green character, he is friends with Jamie, her best friend Jamie, and they're the ones that came and picked us up and dropped us off in Lehigh. And I didn't remember this until mom started telling me, but I remember getting in that truck and them taking us to Avon and then them taking us to Ron's house. So like Ron Green was part of us moving to each of these houses.
Oh, so it was, he was like the ringleader. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to go live here, mm-hmm. and soon you'll be mine.
Right, exactly. But so we went to Preston, and they were still together, but we, you know, we had, like, left their house. I mean, I can't imagine.
So mom was just like, I'm not living in this shitty fucking house.
I would hope that's what she was thinking, but I honestly don't know. We'll ask her. We'll give you guys an update. Yeah, we went to Preston, and then I do remember, I think what broke them up, or what when mom finally had enough, was Ron, she bought bunk beds for like Casey and Kelly, I think, and me and Tiffany. And Ron said, oh, you can't spend that money on beds because my kids don't have beds, so your kids can't have beds. And I do remember that. Jesus. And then so she was like, okay, bye, fuck off.
There is a line in the sand that mom won't cross.
And apparently that really did a number on her because whoever she was, like, dating after that, she bought a baby grand piano.
Oh, that's right.
To impress, because I guess he was, like, a pianist.
I want a baby grand piano.
Yeah, I wonder whatever happened to that piano. I'm sure she couldn't afford it. I'm sure it was repossessed.
Maybe she was renting it. Could I rent a piano? I know you can.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the basic version of how we all got abducted and got sent to live with polygamists in central Utah. There are lots of great stories from the Preston era, but I'm going to save that for a different time. Yeah, hopefully Casey can be on with us too, because he and I together have a lot of great stories about basically trying to raise all of our brothers and sisters with no parental supervision at the age of 10 and 9.
Wow.
Kept you alive.
Right. Also, like, my earliest memories, like, I kind of remember Las Vegas. So by this point, she was already married to Jeff. And we, like, I remember the pool, like, the neighbor's pool. But, like, I really don't remember a whole lot.
So thirsty.
But then, like, I kind of really remember Mission Viejo. Because I remember going to... Like, I remember one of my first memories, like, you have to remember this memory because you're, like, about to go to kindergarten. Which a lot of people are like, you don't remember shit before kindergarten? I was like, I must have had some traumatic shit happen to me because I don't remember shit. And I only remember that memory because I made myself remember it. Don't know why, but... And then I kind of vaguely remember kindergarten a little bit. Like, my cat followed me to school one day. But anyways, as far as mom's religion goes, I remember... She wasn't Mormon when I grew up. Like, the only time I ever went to church was when I'd visit Dad in the summertime. And he'd make me go, and I fucking hated it. And I would sit through sacrament, which is, like, the longest fucking thing. And it's even the worst if it's, like, the third Thursday because it's... What's it? Where everyone...
Testimony.
Anyways... So I would convince Dad that I needed to go home and eat a bagel, because if I didn't, I was going to take a handful of that fucking Wonder Bread and eat it, because I was so hungry.
My blood sugar, my hypoglycemia.
He was like, I gotta go. So then I would spend 45 minutes, because sacrament is 2 hours, and then he'd be like, why took you so long? But anyway, so that was my only, like, introduction to the church was that.
And little did you know.
Awful.
That you have a polygamist background.
Right.
The Owen Allred LeBaron group.
Right? Yeah, mom was Wiccan when I was little. Like, she had, like, the daggers and, like, the, like, statues of, like, dragons and shit. Like, I don't even think she knew what she was doing.
I loved that phase. I know we talked about that already a little bit, but I loved that
phase. That was good. I mean, like, I remember a Sander. She had, like, what do you call it? Like, a wand? Like,
I had one of those, too.
But, like, why?
Because it looked cool and goth, and all my friends were jealous.
But still, like, I want to know what mom was thinking. Like, what the hell? And, yeah, and then when I was about 12, she decided to be hardcore Mormon again and go straight back into the church, and we all had to go to church and we all had to pay tithing or some shit. That did not last very long for me. I was just like, I'm fucking out. Like, I can't. You've lost your mind, lady. And luckily she didn't push it, because I don't know where we would be at this point. I mean, I wouldn't have gone, but I've gone and lived with Dad. I don't know.
Who knows?
I doubt it. I only lived with Dad twice, and I hated it each time. I loved Dad, but he was just at work all the time, and
just... And that's how you got to do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, that's right.
This is just one last quick story, just because it popped in my head. The first time I ever skipped school, I skipped school a lot of times in high school.
Never skipped school.
Oh my God.
Ever.
The first time I skipped school, which was, I think I was definitely in the eighth grade at Mount Logan Middle School, and I skipped school and I was so scared to get caught. So like, I went to Winchell's Donuts and got a donut, and I saw the cops drive by, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go to jail or I'm going to go to juvie or whatever it was. And so I went back home, and so the very back shed before that room had gotten converted into my bedroom. There was like the back unfinished shed behind that.
That's where Casey kind
of That was Casey, yeah, Casey's man cave, his teenage man, or childhood teenage man cave. He had a little black and white TV hooked up out there. And so I ran home and I hid in the shed all day, all day long, watching Mr. Rogers on that little fucking TV. And I heard Dad come home from work in the morning. And it was about lunchtime, and I was so hungry, and I didn't even think about what I would do for lunch, because I wasn't at school, and I didn't get school lunch. So I heard him, shut the bathroom doors, and I heard the bath running, and so I snuck inside really fast, and I grabbed a thing of saltines, and then I ran back to the shed to hide it out until school was over, till I could come out and pretend that I had gone to school all day. It was the worst day of my life.
That's right. Imagine having... we'll say 5 kids, because Terry probably wasn't, even when she was around.
This was before Terry.
But, well, I just want to point out, let's say you've got Terry, my dad, their 2 children, although Colin was pretty young when they moved to the new house, but, so let's just say 7 children, no shower.
Oh yeah, no shower.
Only a bathtub.
That's gross.
Right? I love me a bath, but, yeah, it was a clawfoot, porcelain, bath, but no shower.
You know what else about that house?
There's only 7 people, one bathroom.
Before Dad tiled over that bathroom floor, there was a hatch, a laundry chute hatch that would go down to the unfinished basement. Ooh. So you could throw your clothes down it. And we would slide down that as little kids, so before you were born.
That's awesome.
Which I'm sure is why it was tiled over eventually, because they're probably like rusty-ass nails. Well, I knew you
could, because they had these big-ass cabinets that you could pull out where the towels would be, right? But, in the wall, and that you could pull those out and you could climb up them, and that's how you get up to the attic, which Dad turned into bedrooms.
Right.
But, for that little tiny house, he really made some, shit out of that. Like, mm-hmm. extra bedroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess this is what you gotta do when you got 5 million children.
Yeah, I guess so. I feel like we're getting sidetracked. Too many glasses of wine.
Whoop, whoop.
Should we call it an episode?
Yeah, I think that's a good amount of time.
I think so, too.
Well, I just want to thank Heavenly Father that you all chose to spend family home evening with us. It really means a lot to us.
We really had a really great time.
And we'll see you next time on Family Home Evening
with Bad Mormons.